She heard the mail drop through the slot in the front door and had an idea. She looked at each item once. A baby wearing a Santa hat pictured on a holiday greeting card from a former graduate student, an advertisement for a fitness club, the phone bill, the gas bill, yet another L.L. Bean catalog. She returned to the couch, drank her tea, stacked the photo albums back on the shelf, and then sat very still. The ticking clock and brief eruptions of steam from various radiators made the only sounds in the house. She stared at the clock. 5 minutes passed. Long enough. Without looking at the mail, she said aloud, "Baby and Santa hat card, gym membership offering, phone bill, gas bill, another L.L. Bean catalog." Piece of cake. But to be fair, the time between being presented with John Black's address and being asked to recall it had been much longer than 5 minutes. She needed an extended delay interval. She grabbed the dictionary off the shelf and devised two rules for picking a word. It had to be low frequency, one she didn't use every day, and it had to be a word that she already knew. She was testing her recent memory, not learning acquisition. She opened the dictionary to an arbitrary page and put her finger down on the word berserk. She wrote it on a piece of paper, folded it, put it in her pants pocket, and set the timer on the microwave for 15 minutes. One of Lydia's favorite books when she was a toddler was Hippos Go Berserk. Alice went about the business of readying for Christmas Eve dinner. The timer beeped. Berserk, without hesitation or needing to consult the piece of paper. She continued playing this game throughout the day, increasing the number of words to remember to 3 and the delay period to 45 minutes. Despite this added degree of difficulty and the added likelihood of interference from the distraction of dinner preparation, she remained error-free. Stethoscope, millennium, hedgehog. She made the ricotta, raviolis, and red sauce. Cathode, pomegranate, trellis. She tossed the salad and marinated the vegetables. Snapdragon, documentary, vanish. She put the roast in the oven and set the dining room table. Anna, Charlie, Tom, and John sat in the living room. Alice could hear Anna and John arguing. She couldn't make out the topic from the kitchen, but she could tell it was an argument by the emphasis and the volume of the back and forth. Probably politics. Charlie and Tom were staying out of it. Lydia stirred the hot mulled cider on the stove and talked about her acting classes. Between concentrating on making dinner, the words she needed to remember, and Lydia, Alice didn't have the mental reserve to protest or disapprove. Uninterrupted, Lydia spoke in a free and passionate monologue about her craft, and despite Alice's strong bias against it, she found she couldn't resist being interested. "After the imagery, you layer on the Elijah question, why this night rather than any other?" said Lydia. The timer beeped. Lydia stepped aside without being asked, and Alice peeked in the oven. She waited for an explanation from the undercooked roast, long enough for her face to become uncomfortably hot. Oh, it was time to recall the three words in her pocket. Tambourine, serpent. "You're never playing everyday life as usual. The stakes are always life and death," said Lydia. "Mom, where's the wine opener?" Anna hollered from the living room. Alice struggled to ignore her daughter's voices, the ones her mind had been trained to hear above all other sounds on the planet, and to concentrate on her own inner voice, the one repeating the same two words like a mantra. Tambourine serpent, tambourine serpent, tambourine serpent. "Mom," asked Anna. "I don't know where it is, Anna. I'm busy. Look for it yourself." Tambourine serpent, tambourine serpent, tambourine serpent. "It's always about survival when you boil it down. What does my character need to survive, and what will happen to me if I don't get it?" said Lydia. "Lydia, please, I don't want to hear about this right now," Alice snapped, holding her sweaty temples. "Fine," said Lydia. She turned herself squarely toward the stove and stirred vigorously, obviously hurt. "Tambourine serpent." "I still can't find it," yelled Anna. "I'll go help her," said Lydia. "Compass. Tambourine, serpent, compass." Relieved, Alice took out the ingredients for the white chocolate bread pudding and placed them on the counter. Vanilla extract, a pint of heavy cream, milk, sugar, white chocolate, a loaf of challah bread, and 2 half-dozen cartons of eggs. A dozen eggs? If the piece of notebook paper with her mother's recipe on it still existed, Alice didn't know where it was. She hadn't needed to refer to it in years. It was a simple recipe, arguably better than Marty's cheesecake, and she'd made it every Christmas Eve since she was a young girl. How many eggs? It had to be more than 6, or she would have taken out only 1 carton. Was it 7, 8, 9? She tried skipping over the eggs for a moment, but the other ingredients looked just as foreign. Was she supposed to use all of the cream, or measure out only some of it? How much sugar? Was she supposed to combine everything all at once, or in a particular sequence? What pan did she use? At what temperature did she bake it, and for how long? No possibility rang true. The information just wasn't there. What the hell is wrong with me? She revisited the eggs. Still nothing. She hated those fucking eggs. She held one in her hand and threw it as hard as she could into the sink. One by one, she destroyed them all. It was marginally satisfying, but not enough. She needed to break something else, something that required more muscle, something that would exhaust her. She scanned the kitchen. Her eyes were furious and wild when they met Lydia's in the doorway. "Mom, what are you doing?" The massacre had not been confined to the sink. Empty shards of shell and yolk were splattered all over the wall and counter, and the faces of the cabinets were streaked with tears of albumin. "The eggs were past the expiration date. There's no pudding this year." "Aw, we have to have the pudding. It's Christmas Eve." "Well, there aren't any more eggs, and I'm tired of being in this hot kitchen." "I'll go to the store, go into the living room and relax. I'll make the pudding." Alice walked into the living room, shaking but no longer riding that powerful wave of anger, not sure whether she was feeling deprived or thankful. John, Tom, Anna, and Charlie were all seated and in conversation, holding glasses of red wine. Apparently, someone had found the opener. With her coat and hat on, Lydia poked her head into the room. "Mom, how many eggs do I need?"